from Milwaukee, the New York Mets are on the air. The Milwaukee Braves here at County Stadium, and Lindsey Nelson, Bob Murphy, and I are in hand to bring you all the action. Well, right now, down in the field, Casey Stengel going over the ground rules with Bobby Bregan, the manager of the Milwaukee Braves, and the four umpires for today's game. So, while they check everything over, how about you checking over Viceroy? Right now would be a good time to light up a Viceroy. Viceroy's not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Say, how about checking your own supply of cold Rheingold? Rheingold Extra Dry. Yes, sir, put some Rheingold on ice. It'll add a lot to your enjoyment of the game. Here is a beer with a clean, clear taste. Crisp and bright all the way through. Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Dry tells you why. Well, the starting pitchers for today's game, Roger Craig warming up on the third base side. Roger looking for the first Mets victory. And pitching for the Milwaukee Braves, just completing his warm-up, Dodgers, Bob Henley, who has a record of no wins and one loss. The Milwaukee Braves have a record so far this season of two wins and two losses. And now while we wait for the ball game to get underway, here's a word from Viceroy Cigarettes.
The last of the ninth, score 3-0. The bases were loaded, and wouldn't you know, two men fanned. They missed by a mile. Then Casey stepped up to the plate with a smile.
Now, Casey smokes filters, but knows it's true that even some filters are rough on you. While other brands in the filter crowd are just like smoking a warmed-over cloud. But Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong,
not too light.
Viceroy's got
the taste that's right.
That's right.
Well, Casey won the game with his longest homer yet. The manager's daughter said,
have a cigarette?
Today they're a family with a girl and a boy, and it all began with a Viceroy.
That's right.
So Casey wants you to know, and he'll take all bets. If you smoke all seven filter cigarettes, you'll buy some too strong.
Some too light.
But Viceroy's got
the taste that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Hank Aaron. Batting fourth and playing third base, Eddie Matthews. In left field, batting fifth, Mac Jones. The sixth batter will be the first baseman, Len Gabrielson. Batting seventh and catching, Joe Torre. The eighth batter will be the shortstop, Roy McMillan. And on the mound for the Braves, left-hander Bob Henley. For the New York Mets, manager Casey Stengel has juggled his lineup around. He will play at third base, Ted Driver making his major league debut. Batting second and playing shortstop, Charlie Neal. The third batter will be the right fielder, Duke Snider. Batting fourth in center field, Jim Hickman. Batting fifth and playing in left field, Cliff Cook. The sixth batter will be the second baseman, Larry Burright. Batting seventh and catching, Norm Cherry. And in the eighth batting position at first base, Tim Hartner. On the mound for the Mets, batting ninth, it will be Roger Craig. It's a beautiful day for baseball, a temperature around 51 degrees, the wind blowing from the east 14 miles an hour. Sun shining brightly as the Mets start out here against the Milwaukee Braves on Easter Sunday. On the mound, it is Bob Henley, a left-hander, looking at the sign from catcher Joe Torre. And here is the first pitch. A swing and a miss at a curveball for strike one. Ted Driver making his major league debut here today. Left-hander into the windup and back to the plate. There's a pitch high inside for ball one. One ball and one strike. Driver was born in Brooklyn, New York in 1938. He's 5'11", weighs 175 pounds. Originally signed by the Boston Red Sox. Pitch back, a slider that's on there for strike two. One ball and two strikes. Last year, Driver hit .277 in 147 games with five home runs and 50 runs batted in while playing for Seattle in the Pacific Coast League. Now the left-hander to the right-handed batter. And the pitch is outside for ball two. Two balls and two strikes. The umpire is in today's game behind home plate, Frank Sicori. At first base, Bill Jankowski. At second base, Vinny Smith. And the third base umpire, Paul Pryor. Two balls and two strikes. And the pitch back to Ted Driver. A bouncy ball hit down the third. Eddie Matthews takes it on the second out. Goes across low. A real big stretch by Gabrielson. Out number one. So Ted Driver, in his first time at bat in the major leagues, goes down 5-3. And that brings up Charlie Neal. Charlie playing shortstop in today's game. For the Braves, it's Gabrielson at first base, at second base, Frank Bowling, at shortstop, Roy McMillan, and at third base, Eddie Matthews. Joe Torre sending the sign out to Bob Henley. There's a swing and a miss at a fastball, strike one. In the outfield, Matt Jones in left, Ty Klein in center field, and Hank Aaron in right. Now Bob Henley into the windup and back to Charlie Neal. Ball is low. One ball and one strike. Henley is 24 years of age. 1962 for the Braves. He won 11 and lost 13. He has a lifetime major league record of 16 wins and 21 losses. Two of the 16 wins against the Mets last year. There's a pitch on the inside corner. Looked at. Strike two. One ball and two strikes to Charlie Neal. Henley, a long look at the sign. Here's the windup. And the pitch back is high. Two balls and two strikes. The on-deck batter, Duke Snider. Charlie has one hit and 12 times up this year. And now the 2-2 pitch. Hard ground ball hits to deep short. The glove of McMillan in the left field, a base hit. McMillan went over to backhand the ball. The ball did hit on his glove, rolled about 40 feet away, and Johnny Neal has a base hit. The first base hit of the ball game. And with a runner at first base and one out here in the top of the first, Duke Snider comes to bat. Duke has two hits and 14 times up for the Mets. The hit home runs. He has scored two of their three runs this year. Both home runs coming right here in this spot. A And the first pitch to Snyder is popped up into shallow center field. Ty Klein moves over to his left. He is under, and now he puts it away. So Duke goes down on one pitch. That makes out number two, and Jim Hickman comes up. Jim has 1-for-3 in his brief appearance this year. The one hit a tremendous home run to left field yesterday against the teeth of a real strong wind. That's three base hits in this 1963 season. That could say three runs, all coming as a result of home runs. Now the first pitch to the right-hand batter. A let-up that's over for strike one. Jim Hickman playing in center field, batting with two men out here in the top of the first inning. Charlie Neal at first base, being held on by Len Gabrielson. Now the left-hander back to Jim, a slow curve in the dirt, dug out by Torrey. One ball and one strike. Charles Robert Henley on the mound for the Braves. And now the left-hander back to Hickman, low and inside, and the count now moves along to two balls and one strike. Henley last year in 200 innings allowed only 188 hits. He struck out 112 men while walking only 59. Fine 3.60 earned run average. This is one fellow the Milwaukee Braves are really counting on. Now the 2-1 pitch. A let up, a check and a swing. The ball dribbled out to first base. Gabrielson goes over, makes the play. At first base, unassisted to retire the side. Jim Hickman actually tried to keep the bat off the ball there, but couldn't do it. And in the inning for the Mets, no runs on one hit, no errors, one man left. And the score at the end of one half inning of play, the Mets nothing, the Milwaukee Braves coming to bat. So here's a riddle for filter cigarette smokers. What slides right open, slides just tight, bats 1,000 for convenience, and scores with a taste that's right 20 times. It's Viceroy's exclusive new slide shop case. The greatest improvement in cigarette packaging since the flip open box. Rust proof like a box, it slides right open, slides just tight. Works so easy and with just one hand. Inside, Viceroy. A filter cigarette that tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Fans, if you smoke all seven leading filter brands, you'll find some taste too strong, just like the unfiltered kind. And others taste too light. They take all the fun and flavor out of smoking. But Viceroy's not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. So next time you buy cigarettes, make it Viceroy in the exclusive white shot case or familiar soft pack. First inning, the Mets out in the first with no score, and the Braves coming up for their first drive. Leading off for the Braves will be Ty Klein. He'll be followed by Frank Bolling and then Hank Aaron. On the mound for the Mets, Roger Craig, 32 years of age. In 1962, he won 10 and lost 24. He has a lifetime major league record of 59 wins and 63 losses. Against Milwaukee, he has won 5 and lost 11 lifetime. Last year, he was 1-3 against them. Roger making his second appearance for the Mets. And his first pitch is outside to the left-hand batter, ball one. Roger lost in his first appearance this season, pitching against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals have won 3 straight, all by shutout. They haven't lost a game for 6 months. Here's the 1-0 pitch back, a hard smack foul, strike one. You recall the Cardinals finished last year by defeating the Brooklyn Dodgers or the Los Angeles Dodgers with 2 shutouts and knocking them out of a chance to win the National League pennant. And now with 3 going at the start of this year, they have had 5 shutouts in a row, extending over a period of about 6 months. Yesterday it was Kurt Simmons who pitched the shutout. One ball and one strike as Roger Craig works to tie the line. And the pitch is on the outside corner in the high strike zone for strike two. For the Mets, it's Tim Harkness at first base, Larry Burright at second, Charlie Neal at short, and Ted Schreiber at third. In the outfield, Cliff Cook in left, Jim Hook Hickman in center, and Duke Snyder in right field. And giving the signs, Norm Scherer. Here's the 1-2 pitch to the left-hand batter. A swing and a miss, he struck him out. So Roger Craig on the curveball gets his first man. The score, nothing to nothing here in the bottom half of the first. And coming on the bat is Frank Bowling. Bowling had quite a day yesterday. He picked up 3 base hits, and all of them the kind you'd love to get. One was a top swinging bunt. The other was a check swing. The other, the shortest double we've seen this year. A bouncing ball that bounced away from the shortstop and rolled about 25 feet behind the shortstop's position. And the first pitch to the right-hand batter is inside for ball one, a fastball. Bowling has 4 hits and 16 times up this year, all 4 hits against the Mets. Now Roger into the windup and back to the plate. And the next pitch is popped up in the air to shallow center field. Jim Hickman coming in. And he makes the catch for out number 2. So Roger now with 2 outs. And the batter coming on, Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron, number 44, batting from the right-hand side. Last year he had 45 home runs. So far this year he has 1. Hank has 4 hits and 15 times up. And now Roger with his first pitch. It's a fastball that's in there. Strike 1 call. Frank Sicori, the home plate umpire. It was Frank who called 3 balks against the Mets opening day. 2 of them against Roger Craig. In the National League now, there have been 20 balks called. In the American League, not 1. Quite a difference in the type of umpiring. Now the 1 strike pitch. It popped up in foul territory. Ted Schreiber coming over. Right by the railing now. And he makes the catch to retire the side. So Roger Craig works through the first inning, 1-2-3. And the score at the end of 1 inning to play, the New York Mets nothing, the Milwaukee Braves nothing. You know, this is Sunday afternoon and a beautiful Sunday right here. Easter Sunday, if you're out driving around like I'm sure many of you are, and you happen to be near the Polo Grounds area, might be a wise thing to stop in there and pick up your ticket for the 1963 season. Mets have 3 convenient ticket locations, and on Sunday only, the advanced reservation window at the Polo Grounds is open for your convenience. Saturday and the other days of the week, Monday through Saturday, are chances for you to pick up your ticket downtown at Grand Central Station, down at the bottom of the Vanderbilt Avenue ramp there, or in Pennsylvania Station in the Long Island Waiting Room. You may make your ticket reservations at any of the Howard Kroll stores throughout the metropolitan area, and if you so desire, you may mail in for your ticket. Box seats at $3.50, reserve seats $2.50, and be sure to enclose an additional 25 cents to handle the mailing charges. And the place to write for your ticket is Ticket Manager, Polo Grounds, New York 39, New York. Yes, sir, right now the big series tickets are on sale for the Dodgers and Giants coming in near the end of the year. And the Polo Grounds ticket office is open for your convenience today. We certainly hope you had a very nice Easter. And coming right in now to bring you some of the play-by-play and talk about his new Easter bonnet is Lindsey Nelson.
All right, Ralph Carter. It's coming up now is Cliff Cook wearing a big number 1 on his back. Right-hand batter. He's playing left field today in place of Frank Thomas. Bob Henley into the windup, and here's the pitch. High for ball 1. Frank Sicori, the umpire behind the plate. Cliff Cook getting the call in left field because Frank Thomas was bothered before today's ball game by his shoulder as well as the knee that was cut yesterday. He's playing a ground ball to second base. Up with it is Bowling, and he plays over to Gabrielson in time, and Cook has got it out. So there is 1 away. And coming up now is the Mets second baseman, Larry Furright. Furright is hitting .214 thus far this season. Down to the number 6 slot in Casey Single's batting orders today. And Henley has the sign into the windup, and here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled off. Out of play. It is strike one. Bob Henley, a young left-hander that Milwaukee Braves have been bringing along the last couple of years, and for whom they have extremely high hopes. Burright is in and waiting. And the pitch. As a ground ball to third, taken by Eddie Matthews on a big hop. He guns it on to first to Gabrielson in time. And he's out. Two away, nobody on, and that brings up Norm Sherry. Gabrielson, of course, is playing a new position. Played first base yesterday. And they had him at first base a little bit in the spring, but that time, after he took the throw, he got off the bag with both feet, sort of a broad jump move as he landed a couple of feet off the bag on flat-footed. Here is Norm Sherry coming up for the Mets. The catcher is batting number 7 in the batting order. He's a right-hand batter. Two men out, nobody on base. It's just been in there for a call, strike one. Bright sunny day here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin on Easter Sunday afternoon. Sherry's waiting, and here's the pitch. And line on the left field line, foul. It's out of play. Two strike count now to Sherry. Norm's been up three times previously this season, has one hit, so his batting average is .333. Sally Hemus coaching at first base for the Mets, and Cookie Lavagetta on a steward. That is the usual alignment. Henley starts the motion for the two strike pitch. Swung on, and the strike three struck him out. In the top half of the second, the Mets got no runs on no hits, no errors, and none left. At the end of an inning and a half, the score is the New York Mets nothing and the Milwaukee Braves nothing. And now a word from Viceroy Cigarettes.
We're the Brothers Four with another story about old John Henry. When John Henry rested in the evening,
the second inning, and they'll send up Eddie Matthews, Mac Jones, and Lynn Gabrielson. Matthews has been up 12 times, has four hits, hitting .333. And he's facing Roger Craig in his second start of the season for the New York Mets. As manager Casey Stengel decides to shake up his batting order and line up a little bit today, see if he can get that started with a little run production. Here's a pitch. It's on away for ball. 1-0. Let's have an inner defense of Tim Harkness at first, Larry Burright at second, Charlie Neal at shortstop, and Ted Shriver at third. The pitch to Matthews. Oh for ball. He held up. It's 2-0. Started the swing and held it up. Jones is kneeling on deck now for the Milwaukee Braves. Matthews with 399 career home runs. The next one, number 400. He does not have one yet this season. Pitch is falling out the ground ball to second base. Burright takes it, plays on over to Harkness in time, and he's out. So there's one away, and Mac Jones is coming up. Mac Jones playing left field. Speed. Done it 14 times and has two hits. Batting average of .143. Throughout the spring, the Milwaukee Braves were working with Mac Jones in an attempt to cut down his strikeouts. Last year, he showed with a great tendency to strike out. Swing on a ground ball. That is backhanded by Burright. Knocked down. Plays over to first, not in time. Jones keeps it out. As Burright moves forward, he's right. He knocks it down. It's a base hit. Then made the play over, but Mike Jones, with that fine speed we were talking about, beat it out for the first hit for the Milwaukee Braves off Roger Craig. So with a runner at first and one man out, Len Gabrielson is coming up now. He is the young fellow who yesterday got his first major league hit, and it was a three-run homer that put the Braves out in front far enough for them to win yesterday. So manager Bobby Bregan, of course, has him right back in there at first base again this afternoon. Craig checks now. Jones leads and the pitch to Gabrielson. It is low and inside for ball one. The base runner with Harkness holding against the runner there. We're in the bottom half of the second inning. No scores yet. Here's a pitch high and away for ball two. 2-0 to Len Gabrielson. Norm Larker still bothered with a shoulder that he injured on opening day here, which was Thursday afternoon when he made a hit first slide in the second base. Over, not in time, as Mike Jones gets back safely. It has been expected that Tommy Aaron might get the job at first base this year for the Milwaukee Braves, but apparently manager Bobby Bregan does not feel that way at all. Here's a throw over, not in time. Bobby Bregan was on a local television show last night and mentioned the fact that when Larker went out, he could have put Tommy Aaron at first base, but didn't feel like it, so he put Len Gabrielson there at a new position. Here's a pitch to Gabrielson, swung on, tossed up, off the bag at third. Farber comes over, he has a play, he's underneath, waiting, and Farber takes it for the out. No advance by Mac Jones, as Gabrielson fouls out to third, and coming up now is Joe Torre. Brooklyn-born Joe Torre asked it before the ball game to say hello to his mother, who doubtless listening in this afternoon. Hardly wait to get home next weekend because, of course, the Milwaukee Braves will be coming to New York. Take on the Mets at the Polo Grounds Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, and a doubleheader next Sunday afternoon in New York. Two men out here and a runner at first. Here's the pitch. It's outside for ball. Right now, why don't you light up a Viceroy? Find out what we mean when we say Viceroy has got the taste that's right. Torrey's been up nine times, has four hits. He's batting .444. Throw over, not in time. And he is keeping Darryl Crandall out of that lineup right now. He just might be keeping him available. There's a hit and run play. Swung on, fouled off. So that'll bring Mike Jones back. They had him moving on the pitch, and Torrey chopped it off foul. But Jones comes back with a count to Torrey, one ball and one strike. Joe Torrey, in and waiting. Younger brother of Frank Torrey, formerly played first base for these Milwaukee Braves. Now with the Phillies, here's a pitch, swung on, and this strike two. It's the Mets nothing and the Braves nothing in the bottom half of the second inning. Craig throws over. It's not in time. Roger picked off 14 runners last year. Here's a swing and a foul ball back onto the screen and out of play. Craig is being very careful today to come to that one-second stop at the belt with the runners on because he had two balls called on him on opening day at the Polo Grounds against the Cardinals, and the man who called him is Frank Scully, who is umpiring behind the plate here this afternoon. Now the pitch, swung on, as the ground ball fouled on the third baseline out of play. Count holds at 1-2 now to Joe Torre with Roy McMillan on deck. The Braves. This is the third game of the current series. The took the first two, 6-1 and 5-2. The three Met runs that Met scored in this series were all scored on home runs, two by Duke Snider and one by Jim Hickman. He's running and the throw through to second, taken by Furright and Mac Jones. He's out at second base to retire the side. As Norm Sherry fires down to Furright, and they got the speedy Mac Jones, and in the bottom of the second, the Braves got no runs, one hit, no errors, none left, and at the end of two, the score is the New York Mets nothing, the Milwaukee Braves nothing. Well, you know, the Mets have a lot of new faces, and matter of fact, they have new faces in the lineup here this afternoon. And in addition to that, they also have a brand new official song this year. It's called Meet the Mets. Many of you fans have probably already heard it. This catchy 45 RPM record has two versions of the song, one with a vocal and the other is strictly instrumental. And the record is now available. There are only a limited number of first edition records available, so you'll want to get on the bandwagon right away. And as a baseball fan, you'll want this highly prized souvenir item in your collection. To obtain your copy of the Meet the Mets record, send $1 to Met Official Song, Polo Grounds, New York 39, New York. $1 to Met Official Song, Polo Grounds, New York 39, New York. This ball game, the New York Mets and the Milwaukee Braves. And we'll be going through the top half of the third inning, and Tim Harkness will be coming up for the New York Mets. Harkness has been up eight times, has one hit thus far this season. He's batting number eight in the batting order for the New York Mets this afternoon. With an infield of Lynn Gabrielson at first base, Mike Bowling at second, Roy McMillan at short, Haiti Matthews at third, Mac Jones in left, Ty Klein in center, Hank Aaron in right. Henley now into the windup. Pitch is hung on. There's a high fly ball going foul down the right field line, chased over by Aaron, but this one is going in the stand and out of play. It's a long strike to Tim Harkness here in the top half of the third inning. Roger Craig is on deck for the New York Mets out there with the jacket on. Henley starts the pitching motion. Long on and chop foul. Two strike count now. Casey Stengel, starting Harkness at first base this afternoon against left-hander Bob Henley. He said he wanted to find out whether or not Harkness could hit left-handers. He figured the best way to find out was stick him in there. Pitch is on away for a ball. It's 1-2. And now the 1-2 pitch. Missed strike three. Struck him out. Got him on a breaking ball. So there's one away, nobody on, and pitcher Roger Craig is coming up to the Mets. He's a right-hand batter. Coming up for his first time in this game. Craig has been up twice this season without a hit thus far. The concluding game of this series will be played here tomorrow afternoon. Pitch to Craig, swung on, a little never to the right side, fielded by Henley, and he underhands it on over to Gabrielson in time for the out. Two away and nobody on as Craig is grounded out, pitcher to first, and that brings up Ted Schreiber. Ted playing in his first major league game here today. Been up one time and he grounded out, third to first. Number one draft choice for the New York Mets and the winner draft. Seattle last year. Originally signed with the Boston Red Sox to a bonus contract. Digs in wide stance at the plate. Right-hand batter chokes up a little bit. Bob Henley with the pitch. In there for a call, strike one. Pitch. And to tie for a ball. It's 1-1. It's the Mets nothing and the Braves nothing. At County Stadium in Milwaukee. We'll be on the air tomorrow afternoon at 2:25 p.m. New York time. Radio only. A swing and a foul ball up to the right side. Right now, in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause now for station identification.
Radio 810 WGY, your General Electric station in Schenectady. The temperature at the Albany Airport, 56 degrees.
This is Lindsay Nelson with Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy in Milwaukee. Schreiber has a count of one ball and two strikes. Pitch is swung on right back to Henley, and he fires over to first to Gabriel from in time. So Schreiber has grounded out, pitcher to first on a comebacker. And in the top of the third, the Mets got no runs on, no hits, no errors, and none left. The end of 2.5 innings of play. The score is New York Mets nothing and the Milwaukee Braves nothing. Coming up now, a tune I know you're going to like.
My beer is right cold, the dry beer. Think of right cold whenever you buy beer. It's not bitter, not sweet. It's a dry flavor treat. Won't you try extra dry right cold beer?
Join in and treat yourself to the clean, sparkling taste of New York's favorite beer, Rheingold Extra Dry. Rheingold has a flavor all its own because it's brewed of only the choicest ingredients. Brewed the long, slow, costlier way for flavor that's brisk and bright and clean clear through. It's beer as beer should taste.
My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Think of Rheingold wherever you buy beer.
In the bottom half of the third inning, the Milwaukee Braves will still have Joe Torre up there. You'll recall that Joe was at the plate when Mac Jones was thrown out ceiling in the bottom of the second. So it'll be Joe Torre, Roy McMillan, and Bob Henley to face Roger Craig. Trying to chalk up his first victory of the season and the first victory for the New York Mets for this season. Dixie Walker coaching at first base and JoJo White around at third, the Milwaukee Braves. He held up on the swing and takes it for a ball, and Norm Sherry is protesting to umpire Frank Sicori behind the plate. It goes as ball one. As Torre started the swing and held up. We were talking to Coach Dixie Walker of the Braves before the ball game. Of course, for many years he was the People's Church in Brooklyn and has a lot of friends in the New York area. Pitches in there for a call strike. Says that he hasn't been back to Brooklyn in recent years.
You know, he got quite a rude awakening when he was traded from Brooklyn to Pittsburgh, and all of a sudden, all those friends of his in Brooklyn weren't with him in Pittsburgh, and he didn't know what was going on.
Here's a pitch outside for a ball. It's 2-1.
This is a new experience to have somebody go boo to him, and he was shook.
Well, I imagine he would be, because he could have been the mayor of Brooklyn any time. Here's a 2-1 pitch to Joe Torre. It's low for a ball, 3-1. Dixie said he's looking forward to coming back to the Polo Grounds next weekend with the Milwaukee Braves. Looking like some of his people will be there. It's a 3-1 pitch, swung on and missed. It's a full count now, 3-2 to Torre.
We ought to get a carload of people from Pittsburgh to come up too, so it'll be even.
Yes, I guess that could happen. Pitch is low, ball four, and he walks it. So Joe Torre gets the first base. He becomes the second Braves base runner. And shortstop Roy McMillan shows up. Well, Ralph, what kind of reception did you usually get at Ebbets Field when you were with the Pirates?
You know, the amazing thing, Lindsay, the fans at Ebbets Field were the best I ever played in front of.
Really?
I, of course, was scared to death the first time I went there because I heard so much about them, but believe me, they treated me wonderfully.
Great.
Maybe it's because I struck out so much there.
All right, side, here's McMillan in and waiting. Surrey leads off the bag at first. Harkness holds against him. The pitch is low and away for ball one.
You know, one of the real great experiences was when Nancy, my wife, came to Evansville for the first time, and she sat in the middle of all the fans there. And the first one she met was none other than Hilda, who was naturally in the stand.
Yes.
The call strike pops out of the glove of Sherry. He pounces on it. There's no at bat.
Of course,
playing tennis, you know, they don't say anything in those tennis matches. You've been raised to almost complete silence in sports. And when you get out to Abbott Field, it wasn't quite like that. How did you start with Hilda? It was.
On deck circle, but the Braves haven't had one out there this season, as far as we know. Here's a big tie for a ball. It's 2-1. Joe Torre leads off the bag at first.
The season has picked Joe Torre, caught him leaning, and picked him off at first base. So there is one away and nobody on base. The count to McMillan is 2-1. And Craig checks with Frank Torre to be sure that is the count. Roger's been concentrating a little bit on Torre and just rid himself of that problem. Here's 2-1 pitch falling in. It's a ground ball to third. It's a foul ball. Fielded deep by Sarban. Thrown on to first, but a foul ball. There's umpire Paul Pryor. Fielded cleanly and a long throw made perfectly over to Harkness by Schreiber, but it's a 2-2 count out of McMillan as he comes back to the plate. It's the Braves nothing and the Mets nothing. Bottom half of the third inning. To get a sign now from Norm Sherry. End of the windup and the pitch. Swung on and missed strike three. Struck him out. So that is the second strikeout of the day for Roger Craig. And Bob Henley is coming up now. He's the pitcher coming out of the dugout. That Milwaukee dugout has special heating down in there, and it's a little bit warmer than it would be anywhere else, and I guess that's why the pitchers don't want to come out of there. That would seem like a reasonable reason at this time of year. Pitchers in there for a call strike. You know, Ralph, as you well know, those heating units are located underneath those steps, and many times late innings when that sun has gone down a little bit, you find everybody up on the steps. And pitches low for a ball, and you get an idea if you're just looking from up here that that's the most enthusiastic ball club in the world with everybody up on the steps, but that's where the heat is. Well, I think they put it there on purpose. It did look good. There's a pitch high for a ball. 2-1 now to Henley. Nobody on base for the Braves. Archie Craig with a wind-up and pitch. Swung on and missed. 2-2 now to Henley. Although he's a left-hander, he bats right. Once again, the pitch swung on. Little lever back to the mound. Taken by Craig. He plays over to Harkness in time and the side is retired. So
Well, through three innings, Craig has faced nine batters, and in the bottom of the third, the Braves got no runs on no hits, no errors, and none left. And at the end of three, the score is the New York Mets nothing and the Milwaukee Braves nothing.
We will be.
Well, there'll be a lot of big events coming up at the Polo Grounds this season, and one of the biggest of the early season events will be Willie Mays night at the Polo Grounds on the night of May 3rd. There's a committee in charge of arrangements headed by Tutt Shore, and why not? Because Tutt is one of the biggest of the Giant fans through the years, and he is the chairman of the committee making arrangements.
How do you mean biggest? Do you mean in size or in the rooter?
I tell you, that word covers everything. So, Willie Mays night, May 3rd at the Polo Grounds, will be observed. The San Francisco Giants on hand, of course, the defending National League champions, and they got off to a great start. Willie Mays hitting a home of form yesterday to mark that victory over the Chicago Cubs, and so keep that in mind. May 3rd, the San Francisco Giants against the New York Mets at the Polo Grounds in New York. Right here, there is no score in this game as yet. And we're going to the top half of the fourth inning. Bob Henley's still warming up and check us out on scores of other games and then bring us up to date on the proceedings at Ralph China.
Through 5.5 innings at Cincinnati, Pittsburgh leads the Reds by a score of 1-0. Joy Jay going for Cincinnati and pitching for the Pittsburgh Pirates, Al McBean. The Cubs have a 1-0 lead after 2.5 against the Giants. Marischal pitching for the Giants and going for the Cubs, Larry Jackson. No score in the Philadelphia St. Louis game through 4.5, but Short and Brodio pitching there. In the American League, the New York Yankees have a commanding lead over Baltimore, 5-0 after 3. Nerum now pitching for the Orioles. Williams going for the Yankees. Cleveland leads Detroit 2-0 through 5. And Washington leads Boston 2-1 through 3. That's the story in the scores around baseball. And right here, it's 0-0 as we move to the top of the fourth. And face it of the game for the Mets, the single off the glove of Roy McMillan in the first inning. Bob Henley, a left-hander, back to the plate with a 1-0 pitch. There's a ground ball right back to the mound. Henley knocks it down, picks it up, throws him out. And there's a base hit taken away from Johnny Neal. That ball was a smash, but Henley got in front of it, knocked the ball right down below him. He had time to pick it up and throw out Johnny Neal for out number one. And with one out, the batter will be Duke Snyder. Duke flat out to center field his first time up. Number 11 for the first time in his life.
His regular number with the Dodgers, number 4.
And the first pitch to the left-hand batter is outside for ball one. Bob Henley on the mound for the Milwaukee Braves. He's a big jaw fella. Has been throwing a lot of breaking pitches, a lot of sliders, and a lot of curveballs. Comes back with a curve, and there's a fly ball to shallow center field. Ty Klein moves in about 6 steps, waits and puts it away. Throw on a breaking pitch. Bob Henley gets out number 2, and Jim Hickman comes in. Jim tried to check a swing his first time up, but bounced the ball down to first for one at bat in this ball game. Jim has one hit, a home run, and that was a tremendous drive to left field, halfway up in the bleachers against a real strong wind. Jim batting from the right-hand side, and the left-hander to the plate with his first pitch. A big curveball for strike one, a swing and a miss. Jim batting 1-for-4 in the year, 250 if you keep the averages. They don't mean a whole lot right now. One hit, of course, would change that to 400. There's a pitch outside, a curveball again. One ball and one strike. During the course of a full season, a base hit figures to be about 2 points on your batting average. Now the 1-1 pitch to Jim, a breaking pitch in the dirt. Two balls and one strike. With 2 men out, no score in the top of the fourth inning. Now Henley back to the right-hand batter. And the 2-1 pitch. Line to left field, a base hit. So
Well, Jim Heckman gets second base into the year. That raises his average to 400 from 250, and you can see the difference in percentage points right there. And with two outs, the batter will be Cliff Cook. Second hit of the game off Bob Henley. No score. Now Cliff Cook, who bounced to second, steps in. And there's the throw to first base. Jim Hickman back ahead of the throw in time. Cliff has one hit and six times up this year. And the pitch to the plate is high. A slider for ball one. One ball and no strikes. Frank Thomas, as Lindsey Nelson tells you, injured yesterday when he made a great shoestring catch on Hank Aaron in left field. Now the left-hander back to the plate. There's a bouncing ball down towards third, but foul. Ball going on through down the left field line. Just missing being fair. Eddie Matthews, the third baseman, came over to backhand and couldn't get his glove on the ball. So the count now, one ball and one strike. Mets only had three hits yesterday against Lou Burdette, but they hit the ball hard on many occasions. Rod Caneal lined one right back to the mound and was robbed of a base hit. Gray Bull was robbed of a base hit in left field when Mac Jones made a good play. Now throw to first base. Hickman back ahead of the tag by Lynn Gabrielson. No score game. Two men out. Top of the fourth inning. Henley now back on top and back to the plate. And the curveball hit off the end of the bat. A high jump by the first baseman. He hauls it down. So Len Gableson, who's 6'5", used all of that and as much as he could get in a big jump to take a base hit away from Cliff Cook. And that retires the side. In the inning, no runs on one hit, no errors, one man left. And the score at the end, a 3 1/2 innings of play. The New York Mets nothing, the Milwaukee Braves nothing. Say if you like music, I think you'll love this. On the mound for the New York Mets against the Milwaukee Braves. And Roger now will start all over again. He has retired the first nine men in a row. He has given up one base hit. That was to Matt Jones, an infield hit off the glove of Larry Burright. Then he proceeded to work it out to have Jones thrown out at second base. Roger also has walked one man, and he picked him off first. So it's been a perfect three innings for Roger Craig. And there's the first pitch to Ty Klein. It fouled away for strike one. Roger getting his first pickoff of the 1963 season when he picked Joe Torre off first base. Last year, Roger Craig had 13. He led the National League in that department. So it's a one-strike count to Ty Klein as he leads off for the Milwaukee Braves. No score. Klein batting from the left-hand side. Waits as Roger gets the sign. Now calls time. Norm Cherry, the catcher for the Mets. At third base, Ted Schreiber playing his first major league game. At shortstop, Johnny Neal. At second base, Larry Burright. At first base, Tim Archer. Now the one-strike pitch as Craig comes back to work, and it's on the outside corner. That moves the count up to strike two. In the outfield for the Mets, Cliff Cook in left field. In center field, Jim Hickman. In right field, Duke Snyder. Now Craig with the two-strike pitch. He misses with a fastball outside. One ball and two strikes. Tim
temperature 51 degrees at game time. Wind blowing in from the east, about 14 miles an hour. Now Craig back, and it's a 1-2 swing and a miss, and he got him swinging. Roger Craig with a curveball down around the knees picks up his third strikeout in the ball game, and that is out number one here in the fourth inning. No score. The batter will be Frank Boley. That's the second time that Ty Klein has struck out against Roger Craig, both times on curveballs. Frank Bowling in the batter's box. He flies to center field his first time up. He has four hits and 17 times up. And the first pitch to Bowling, the curveball over for strike one. Roger Craig today in his second start is much sharper with his control. In his opening start against St. Louis, he was very wild, missing with a large majority of his pitches. There's that curve again. Strike two, a swing and a miss. Roger is not fast. His control is big as asset. Now the windup and the two-strike pitch to Bowling. And it's inside. Moves him away. Spins him away. Ball one. Bowling batting from the right-hand side. Bowling has four hits. All against the Mets this year. Pitch back, a curve just missing outside. Good pitch by Roger Craig. Two balls and two strikes. Well, if the first four hits that Bowling has picked up this year are indicative of his remaining year, he's going to hit about 500. Bowling has four big blue hits against the Mets. Boy, that's a good sign. Now the 2-2 pitch. And a little one off the handle. It's going to go into right field. Another grouper, a base hit for Frank Bowling. Frank Bowling off the handle, moving one just out of the reach of the second baseman, Larry Burride. So Bowling now with five hits. Boy, what a year he's got. That is the second hit given up by Roger Craig. The hits are all even now, two apiece. No score. The batter, Hank Aaron. Hank fouled out his first time up. Number 44, the pitch to him is low, a curveball for ball one. You know, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. How about you? Now would be a good time to open up or order up a Rheingold Extra Dry. Yes, sir. Real good time. Beautiful day right here in Milwaukee for the Easter Parade. Roger Craig asking for a new ball. Gets it from umpire Frank Sikora. One ball count to Hank Aaron. Aaron, four hits and 16 times up. And the pitch back, a curve inside, ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Four for 16, a 250 average. Tied for the club RBI leadership with Gabrielson with three. There's a quick throw to first, but Frank Bowling only about a step away. It's going to be harder for Roger Craig to pick men off because no one gets too far off right now. There's a pitch high for ball three, a fastball just above the strike zone. Three balls and no strikes to Hank Aaron. The on-deck batter, Eddie Matthews. Milwaukee Braves missing the big bat of Joe Adcock now. They only have two big ones in the lineup. Hank Aaron and Eddie Matthews. There's a curve. It's over the knees for strike one. So Roger Craig in the 3-0 pitch comes back with a curve. And he picks up the first strike, running the count to three balls and one strike. One out, a runner at first base. No score in the ballgame. With a short lead is chased back by Roger Craig as he goes over to Tim Harkness. Again, the short leg, this time a quick throw, again Bowling back ahead of the tag. Bowling only has about a four-step lead. Now it's about three. There it goes to four. Time called. Now time is in as Craig gets the sign and comes to the plate. And he misses on the 3-1 pitch for ball four. A run is his second walk, and it puts runners at first and second. It brings up Eddie Matthews. Matthews bounced to second base his first time up. He has four hits and 13 times up this year. Eddie batting from the left-hand side. Roger Craig now in the stretch position. His first pitch to Matthews outside for ball one. And now the third baseman, Ted Schreiber, moving back. He was playing about even with the bag. Matthews has been known to punt down toward third every once in a while. He's very good at that. But with runners on at first and second, he'll probably hit away. Now the pitch back. It's low, a curveball. Ball two. Roger Craig in trouble now. Runners at first and second with one out and a 2-0 count on Eddie Matthews. Roger worked the first three innings, 1-2-3. But now for the first time in the game, the Milwaukee Braves have a runner as far as second base. Just shaking off the first sign from Norm Sherry. Gets another. Outfield just a shade toward right field. Infield a double play deck. Now Roger on top and back to the plate. And he misses for ball three. Slider outside. So Roger's only a pitch away from holding up the bases. The on-deck batter is Mac Jones. He has one of the two hits given up by Roger Craig. Three balls and no strikes. Roger works here in the bottom half of the fourth inning. Craig again shaking off the first sign, takes the second, now set, looks at second, goes to first base, a play on there, but in ahead of the throw was Hank Aaron. Tim Harkness coming in from behind the runner at first base, about 6 to 7 steps. Now again, it's Craig on top and back to the plate. And there's the slider over the knees for strike one. That's Craig's first strike as he works to Eddie Matthews. It's 3-1. Wind blowing toward right field. Pitch back to Matthews, and it's full foul. So the count fills out at 3 balls and 2 strikes. A left-hander throwing in the bullpen for the Mets is Don Rowe. Rowe was used with Roger Craig when Craig worked his first ball game. Runners at first and second. One man out to count 3-2 to Eddie Matthews. Craig shaking no on the first sign. Now gives the sign to start all over to Norm Sherry. So Norm does. Now it's set. Here's the 3-2 pitch. The runners go, and the pitch is hit off the end of the bat down towards third. Picked up by Schreiber to throw to first base in time. So Ted Schreiber picks up the second out with no chance to make a play on the moving runners. And the Braves now have runners at second and third, and the batter coming up is Mac Jones. Eddie Matthews fooled on the pitch, hit the ball right off the end of the bat. It spun down towards third. Schreiber moved in, fielded the ball about even with the line running between second and third, and made the quick throw to first for the second out. And now it's Mac Jones, left-hand hitting left fielder. Is on at third base. Hank Aaron at second. And now Roger in the full one. windup and to the plate. There's a curveball hit down towards first. A good play by Harkness. He throws the tray, covering in time. Tim Harkness going in the hole to his right, pulled the base hit away. Made a good throw to Roger Craig, covering on the very fast runner to retire the side. So Roger gets out of a jam. As the Milwaukee Braves score no runs, pick up one hit. They had one walk and left two men on. And the score at the end of four needs to play. The New York Mets nothing, the Milwaukee Braves nothing. Now to bring you up to date on the scores, here is Lindsey Nelson.
All right, Ralph Kiner, and in the National League, at the end of six and a half innings of play, the Pittsburgh Pirates won the Cincinnati Reds nothing. Al McBean again going against Joey Jay. At the end of four innings of play in Chicago, it's the Cubs 2 and the defending national champion Giants nothing. Juan Marichal going for the Giants and Larry Jackson for the Chicago Cubs. Ron Santo homered in the fourth with nobody on for Chicago. And in St. Louis, at the end of five and a half, the Philadelphia Phillies have scored a run against the St. Louis Cardinals. They have finally given up a run, the first time they've given up one this season. It is the Phillies 1, St. Louis Cardinals nothing at the end of five and a half. Chris Short against Ernie Broglio. That's the first game of a scheduled doubleheader, and the Dodgers are playing in Houston. Sandy Koufax against Don Nottebohm, and that one is not yet underway. In the American League, the end of four innings, the New York Yankees 5, the Baltimore Orioles nothing. Estrada started for Baltimore, Buxton Harriman the third. Dan Williams going for the Yanks. At the end of six, Cleveland Indians 3, the Detroit Tigers nothing. Bunning for Detroit. Grant started for Cleveland and was injured. Walker in the fifth. Six, DiVallo hit a homer in the fifth with one man on for the Cleveland Indians. The end of three innings of play, the Washington Senators 2, the Boston Red Sox 1. Gary Stevenson started for Boston. Hal Kostad in the third inning. Benny Daniels started for Washington. Carl Bolden in the fourth inning. Carl Tillman opened in the third with nobody on. At the end of one inning, the Minnesota Twins 2, the Kansas City A's nothing. Pasquale against Segui. Allison opened in the first with one on. The White Sox and the Angels rained out. Coming up now is Larry Burright. Henley pitches in there for a called strike. Nothing and one. The count to Burright coming up here in the top half of the fifth inning. He's been up one time and he grounded out third to first. Again, Henley, the left-hander with the motion. It's bunted back toward the mound. Taken by Henley, and he plays on over to first in time. There's one away, and right now, in order to allow our stations to identify themselves, we pause now for station identification.
WGY in Schenectady, the present temperature 57 degrees, the humidity 8%.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Bob Murphy and Ralph Kiner here at Milwaukee County Stadium. Norm Sherry is up now for the Mets. He's a right-hand batter. Henley starts the motion, and the pitch is inside for ball one. Thus far, the New York Mets have two hits off Bob Henley. Charlie Neal single in the first, and Jim Hickman single to left in the fourth. Sherry waits. And misses. One and one to count. The Milwaukee Braves have the defense swung around toward left on the right-hand batter here. It's the Mets nothing, the Braves nothing. Here's a 1-1 pitch. Swung on and has a high fly ball to left field. Mac Jones moves over. Ty Klein is there also, and Klein calls and takes it right in front of Mac Jones, way over in left center field. So there are two men out. Nobody on base, and first baseman Tim Harkness is coming up. Harkness has been up one time, and he struck out swinging. Made a fine defensive play to get the Mets out of the last inning as he went to his right. He glove a ball hit by Mac Jones, and then play it over to Roger Craig, covering in time to retire the side. And here he is at the plate, Tim Harkness. Ball is swung on. It's a ground ball to second. Picked up by Bowling and played on over to Gabrielson in time. So in the top of the fifth, the Mets are out in order. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. It's the end of four and a half. The score is New York Mets nothing and the Milwaukee Braves nothing. What is the one thing that most people associate with baseball? Well, I'll bet that if you ask, the answer you'd hear most often is an ice cold glass of beer. And if those people happen to be New Yorkers, well, then that beer has just got to be Rheingold, New York's favorite. And what accounts for this popularity? Two words tell you: extra dry. You see, a dry beer is crisp to the taste, more naturally refreshing. And Rheingold is the extra dry beer. Extra dry to be extra refreshing. And after all, isn't that what you want in a beer? Well, sure it is, so why wait? Order up or order yourself a glass of refreshing Rheingold and enjoy it along with the game. You'll join the millions of people everywhere who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. It's beer as beer should taste. In the bottom of the fifth, Milwaukee Braves will send up Lynn Gabrielson, Joe Torre, and Roy McMillan. Afternoon, it will be Al Jackson pitching for the New York Mets as they close out the series here. Immediately after tomorrow's game, the Mets will be flying on to Cincinnati, and they'll take on the Cincinnati Reds on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. We'll be bringing you both of those on radio and television from Cincinnati. Thursday is an off day for the Mets, and then they open up at the Polo Grounds in New York. Friday afternoon against the Milwaukee Braves. Saturday afternoon will be Ladies' Day. And Sunday afternoon, a week from today, a doubleheader between the Mets and the Braves at the Polo Grounds. Gabrielson, left-hand batter's in. He's been up one time. Hopped out. Fouled out to third base. Has a pitch in there for a called strike to Gabrielson. He was the hero of yesterday's 5-2 Brave victory over the Mets when he hit a three-run homer. His first time up. His first major league hit. Craig's pitch is low for ball. It's 1-1. Again, Craig starts the motion. 1-1 pitch. Swung on and missed. It's a big swing. 1-2. So far, the Braves have only two hits out right to Craig. Mac Jones scratched one. Ground ball was knocked down by Burright, but Jones beat it out in the second inning. And Frank Bowling blooped one into right field in the fourth inning. Pitch is high and away for a ball. It's 2-2. So far, Craig has struck out three and he's walked two. Pitch. And it is low for ball. Out full at 3-2. Gabrielson leaning way over to start the swing, but held up. So it is a full count now to the rookie first baseman. Here's a payoff pitch. Swung out and missed. Strike three. Struck him out. That is strikeout number four for Roger Craig this afternoon. And with one away and nobody on base, Joe Torre is coming up. He has been up one time and he walked and then he was picked off by Roger Craig. Lots of Easter corsages on the ladies around the ballpark this afternoon. Breaking ball inside. Ball one. Nothing and the Braves nothing. Pitch is low and away for a ball. 2-0 now to Joe Torre. Torre's batting average, .444. Nine times at bat, four base hits. Swinging a ground ball. That is going on through the hole in the left field for a base hit. Cliff Cook up with it, relays it back in, turning and holding it first is Torre. With a ground single to the left. That try with the third baseman went for it. Charlie Neal, the shortstop, went for it. It was through the hole and on into left. So with one man out, Roy McMillan comes up now. He's been up one time, and McMillan struck out swinging. That hit was the third for the Braves off Roger Craig. McMillan is hitting .286. He's fired outside for ball one. JoJo White running through the side, down to third. He is Bobby Bregan's third base coach. There's a pitch low and away for a ball. It's 2-0. Oh.
World Series, I remember that there used to be a patch of woods straight away in center field. Perini's Woods, they call it. But the trees died, and so they filled the bleacher area out there. They didn't turn occupied except for a football game. Pitch is in there for a called strike. It's 2-1. From Norm Sherry. Here's a pitch fired right in there for a call strike two. It's 2-2 to McMillan. McMillan has long been recognized as one of the outstanding glove men in baseball. Had some great years with the Cincinnati Reds. Torrey leads it first, and here's a pitch to McMillan. Melts it down the left field line. If it stays fair, but it is a foul ball. Play, so it's 2-2. It's a line shot that hits the wall down just outside the flag. Hit well out in front and full by Roy McMillan. Defeated teams, both in the National League, the San Francisco Giants and the St. Louis Cardinals. Dodgers defeated the Houston Cole 45 3-1 last night, in case you missed that one. Here is a swing and a miss, strike three. Struck him out. McMillan is the second out. That is strikeout number five for Roger Craig in this game. And brings up pitcher Bob Henley, who comes out of the dugout right now. Comes on up past Ty Klein, who's in the on-deck circle. Henley takes his time coming out. Henley, a right-hand batter, has been up one time, and he grounded out. Pitcher to first. Pitches in there for a tall strike. That's nothing, and the Braves nothing. But the Braves batting in the bottom of the fifth. Here's a swing and a miss, strike two. Charlie Neal out there at shortstop this afternoon for the New York Mets. As Al Moran was taken out of the lineup for the first time since the start of the season. So Charlie was moved over from his third base position where he had been. That pitch is low and away for a ball. It's 1-2. Two men out and the runner at first. Torrey takes his lead and here's the pitch. Swung on and it's a ground ball backhanded by Neal. It's short. He plays to far right for the fourth and he's out. Beautiful backhand stab by Charlie Neal at shortstop. To get the fourth on Joe Torrey, as that one went 6-4 if you're scoring. And in the bottom half of the fifth, the Braves got no runs on one hit, no errors, and one left. At the end of five full innings of play, the score is the New York Mets nothing, the Milwaukee Braves nothing. In the top half of the sixth inning, Roger Craig will be up to lead off for the New York Mets. Roger has been up one time, and he grounded out. Pitch it at first. Young Bob Henley is still in there on the mound for the Milwaukee Braves. That's a favorite pastime in this stadium, to chase the sun. When it starts to move, you find that the fans start to move. Here is a windup and the pitch. It's in there for a call strike. Henley again getting a side. And the pitch is low for ball. One and one. Ted Schreiber is on deck. Getting a sign from Joe Torre. The 1-1 pitch. Hard inside. 2-1. Henley takes a moment to rev up the ball. And the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and missed. It's 2-2. Henley has struck out one and walked none here this afternoon. He got Norm Sherry swinging in the top half of the second inning. Now the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and fouled off. So the count holds for Craig. It's 2-2. We'll be on the air tomorrow afternoon at 2:25 p.m. New York time. The 2-2 pitch to Craig. Swung on. That's a ground ball to short. McMillan up with it. Plays it on to Gabrielson in time. And Roger Craig has grounded out. Hits the ball well, but Roy McMillan moves swiftly to his left and scoops it up. There's one away. Ted Schreiber coming up, still looking for his first major league hit. Grounded out third to first. Grounded out pitcher to first. Is the number that Charlie Neal wore during his years with the Dodgers. Neal is on deck right now. That's a breaking ball low. It's 1-1 to Ted Schreiber. That's nothing. Braves nothing. Henley getting a sign. Starts the motion for the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled out to the right side out of play. 1-2. A complex of expressways have been constructed in the vicinity of the ballpark since the heyday of Milwaukee Law Club, 57, 58, 59. Cut considerably into the parking area. Here's a swing and a miss, strike three. And Schreiber is out swinging. That is strikeout number two for Bob Henley. Here's 2 men out, nobody on base, and Charlie Neal is coming up. 1-2 this afternoon. And the pitch. Breaking ball in there for a call. Strike one. Duke Snyder's on deck now for the Mets. Again, the pitch. Fired tight. It's 1-1. On the way. Swung on and pops up to the right side. At first base, Lynn Gabrielson calls. He's underneath. And he makes the catch for the out. So the Mets in the top of the sixth are out in order with no runs on, no hits, no errors, and none left. The end of 5.5 innings of play. The score is New York Mets nothing, the Milwaukee Braves nothing. Something in triplicate for you right now.
My dear, my dear, my dear. Matthews is going
line up twice, and he grounded out both times.
Swinging a ground ball through the hole into right field for a base hit. Aaron Brown second hits the third. No play made on him as he flies into third base safely. Maddie came up with the ball relayed in, running holding first and third. And Mac Jones is coming up. Roger Craig has come on over to back up the possible play at third, so now he starts back towards the mound leisurely. Just outside the batter's box, and up twice, stretched the base hit in the bottom half of the second. It's the Mets, nothing, the Braves, nothing. Craig now looks around the outfield before getting set to pitch to Mac Jones. Left-hand batter with lots of speed. Braves now have a total of five hits off Craig. All of them singles. Time call now. He sure wants to go out and check with Craig. This is the first inning that the Braves have been able to get as many as two hits off Craig. That double play on the ball hit by Bowling Loom ever larger since Aaron and Matthews have followed with back-to-back singles. Runners lead first and third. The pitch to Mac Jones. One out of two. Strike one. He took a ripple. Getting handcuffed. Henry Aaron at third. Eddie Matthews at first. Bobby Bregan, managing the Braves, has Aaron batting ahead of Eddie Matthews. Most of Bregan's predecessors managing the Braves did it the other way around. Matter of fact, Fred Haney batted Eddie Matthews in the number two slot in the batting order. It's a swing and a ground ball to the right side, taken by Burright. He plays on over to Harkness in time to retire the side. So in the bottom of the sixth, the Milwaukee Braves got no runs on two hits. There was one error and two men left. And at the end of six full innings of play, the score is the New York Mets nothing and the Milwaukee Braves nothing. Coming in here now to bring you up to date on all the proceedings, Bob Murphy.
Thank you very kindly, Lindsey Nelson. You know, the Dodgers will be coming into New York for their first series, a two-game series, and the first two night games of the home season for the New York Mets on the 9th of April 29th and April 30th. The final two nights of the month of April, the Dodgers will be coming in. Don Drysdale off to a fast start. Big Don has already won two and lost none. Sandy Koufax trying for his second win in today's ball game. Tommy Davis, the Mercury footed Maury Wills, who right now has been sidelined. Bill Scowron, Ron Fairley, Willie Davis, Massey Frank Howard, who many of the ball players think is the man to beat for the home run championship this year, will all be in on April 29th and April 30th for their first visit of the new season. Right here, let's pause for station identification.
WGY Schenectady. Temperature is 57 degrees with the humidity at 8%.
Bob Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner. We go now to the top of the seventh inning with the New York Mets coming up. Bob Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner. We go now to the top of the seventh inning with the New York Mets coming up against Bob Henley in a brilliant pitching duel between Bob Henley, the 23-year-old southpaw, and veteran right-hander Roger Craig. Pitch thrown to the Duke, and he barely gets a piece of this one, a foul ball off, no play. Is into his windup, and the pitch to Snyder, he lays off and is taken high. One ball and one strike. Well, a baseball headline has been written this afternoon in Cincinnati by 24-year-old Al McBean, the right-hander from St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, who shut out the Cincinnati Reds on one base hit. Pittsburgh winning 1-0.
breaking ball outside and low, two balls and one strike. Well, they really have some pitching jobs going on around the National League today. Al McBean, a one-hit shutout as Pittsburgh beat Cincinnati 1-0. Joey Jay, the loser. The Cubs lead the Giants 2-0 at the end of six, behind Larry Jackson. The Phillies lead the Cardinals 1-0 at the end of seven, short against Brolio. Breaking ball to tie, 3-1 now to Duke Snider. After all that speech about the one hitter, we'll have to backtrack. A correction has just come in on our ticker that says Cincinnati no runs and 10 hits. That makes it a little bit different, doesn't it? Now the 3-1 delivery by Bob Henley. Outside and low, it's ball four, and Snider walks, leading off the seventh inning. There's the first walk given up by Bob Henley. The Mets have their leadoff man on base, Duke Snider, and it brings up Jim Hickman. Al McBean came into his own as a star right-hander for Danny Murtaugh last year when he won 15 ball games, lost 10, and had an earned run mark of 3.6. Now, Cookie Lavagetto is calling Jim Hickman down for a get-together. With Snider on first base and nobody out, top of the seventh inning. New York, no runs, two hits, and one error. Milwaukee, no runs, five hits, and no errors. Now the stretch. They look for the bunt. And a throw to first, not in time. Snider hurrying back. Now lefty Bob Henley up in pitching position delivers. Henley fires it in there for a call strike. Hickman bluffed but didn't offer to bunt it. Day game tomorrow with Al Jackson pitching against Bob Shaw. Then on to Cincinnati. And two single night games on Tuesday and Wednesday nights before returning to New York. Now Jim Hickman cocks the bat. He squares around. Bunts. Fair ball. Down the third baseline. Good bunt. Play has to go to first in time for the out. Real good bunt by Jim Hickman. He pulled the bat back and almost spun that one to a stop going down the third baseline. Play going across to the first baseman, Lenny Gabrielson. And now Snyder's in scoring position at second with one out, and the batter is Cliff Cook. So Jim Hickman has done his job in trying to help build a run. And now Cliff Cook hopes to drive it in. Cliff 0 for 2 has grounded out and hit a line drive caught by Gabrielson. Pitches over at the letters for a call strike on Cook. Bob Henley makes the stop. Down comes his pitch to Cook. A swing and a curve and a miss. Strike two. Larry Burright is the on-deck batter, and then Norm Sherry. Danny Murtaugh's young Pittsburgh team off to a fast start. They traded away three-fourths of their infield, but they have gotten away well. Now the two-strike delivery. A foul ball off the fifth. Back into the screen. No play. They traded away their first baseman, Dick Stewart, their shortstop, Dick Grote, and their third baseman, Don Hope. To go along with the youngsters, Don Clendenin at first, Schofield at short, and rookie Bob Bailey at third. Now Henley in front on the count. Cook waiting. The two-strike pitch. Inside and high, he had to lean out of the way of that one. One ball and two strikes now on Cliff. No score. We're in the top of the seventh inning in Milwaukee. Now Henley off the stretch. Here's the pitch on the way. A curve swung and missed. He struck him out. Now it'll be up to Larry Burright to try and get that tie-breaking run home. Bob Henley now has struck out four in the game, walked one, allowed no runs, and given up just two hits. Charlie Neal singled to left with one out in the first inning, and Jim Hickman singled to left with two men out in the fourth inning. Those are the only hits that Henley has surrendered. Larry Burright has been thrown out third to first, tried to bunt his way on and was thrown out. Here's the pitch on the way. A line drive hit hard towards center field, running toward the line. He makes the catch. ball was really hit by Larry Burr, right? Hit so hard that what looked like a certain base hit stayed up long enough and started to rise, and Ty Klein, who covers ground in a hurry, was able to cut over and pick it off on the dead run in right center field. So the side is out in the seventh inning. Mets made a strong bid for a run there, but Klein was able to get to it. No runs, no hits, no errors, one left on. The end of 6.5 innings to score. The New York Mets, nothing, and the Milwaukee Braves, nothing. You know, a really smart hitter tries to look over the pitches until he gets the one that's right for him. Same thing goes for filter cigarette smokers. Look them all over and you'll hit on Viceroy. Because Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Now, what do I mean by the taste that's right? Well, if you smoke all seven leading filter brands, you'll find some try to taste like the unfiltered kind, and they succeed. Result? Too strong. Now, others taste too light, and they filter all the fun and flavor out of smoking. But Viceroy's not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. That's right, fans. Try Viceroy in the exclusive new slide top case. You know, it's crush-proof like a box, but works far easier. It slides right open, slides shut tight. Either way, familiar softback or new slide top case, Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Now Lenny Gabrielson up in the home seventh, bunts the ball down the third baseline. Driver picks it up and throws. He's out at first base. Play by Ted Shriver. Close, close play at first base, and Harkness stretched out to meet the throw, and that stretch by Harkness just made the play work. Gabrielson trying to bunny his way on in this nothing-to-nothing ball game in the home seventh inning. He's a left-hand hitter, and he bunted it down the third baseline, and Shriver couldn't waste a moment. That play at first was closer than last year's best. One away and nobody on. The hitter now is Joe Torre. Joe has a perfect day going, has drawn a walk single to left field. Roger Craig winds and pitches. Strike on the outside corner. We've had some fine fielding in this pitching duel. One away, nobody on. Bottom half of the seventh inning. A little bit off the outside corner. One ball, one strike. Now to Joe Torre. Let's have the outfield astride to left against Torre, a right-hand hitter. He stands deep, feet close together. A smash off the end of the bat towards second. Burr right up with it behind second. Throws in time. They have him by a two-running stride. Ball was hit funny. Craig fooled him with the pitch, and it was hit down off the end of the bat. Ralph, in this ball game, the pitchers have been baffling the hitters. We've seen a lot of those balls with a lot of spin on it.
They certainly have been pitching good baseball. Roger Craig has pitched exceptionally well, and so has Bob Henley. There have been a lot of low-scoring ball games this spring.
National League all the way around the schedule this afternoon, featuring great pitching. Outside and low to Roy McMillan. Roy 0 for 2 in the game. It's all over in Cincinnati. The Pirates beat Cincinnati 1-0. McBean the winner over Joey J. Larry Jackson has the slugging Giants shut out for 7 innings. That's no easy trick. Breaking ball over for a call strike. One ball and one strike. Chris Short has the Cardinals shut out for 7 innings, and that's a tough batting order to shut out. The Phillies leading 3-0 at the end of 7.5. Grounder hit down to third. In comes Shriver. Plays it even with the bag. Now the peg. The side is out. A strong inning for Roger Craig. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. Now 7 innings complete. And the score here at County Stadium in Milwaukee, the New York Mets, nothing. And the Milwaukee Braves, nothing. In the game today at Wrigley Field in Chicago, Juan Marichal was the starter for the Giants. May have left the game for a hitter, and right-hander Jack Fisher, acquired from the Orioles during the interleague trading period, is now on in relief. Larry Jackson pitching for the Chicago Cubs. You know, it seems like only yesterday that it was 1951 and a young Willie Mays came up from Minneapolis, joined Leo DeRocher and the New York Giants in the Polo Ground. Off to a slow start, worried about whether he was going to hit or not. The same Willie, 11 years later, added to his laurels last year when he led the major leagues in hitting with 49 home runs. And it'll be Willie's night in the Polo Grounds on Friday night, May 3rd. Cook Shore serving as chairman of the committee as they map the plans to make it a big one as New York turns out to honor one of its greatest athletes, Willie Mays. Pittsburgh beat Cincinnati 1-0, being the winner over Jay. Cardinals hitting in the last of the eighth, trailing Chris Short and the Phil 3-0. That's the first game of two. The Dodgers lead Houston 1-0 at the end of two. Colfax against Don Nottebohr. In the American League, the Yankees lead the Orioles 5-1 after 5.5. Stan Williams pitching for New York. Dave McNally is the fourth earner used by Billy Hitchcock. Cleveland 6, Detroit 0 as they go to the ninth inning. Jerry Walker replaced Mudcat Grant in the fifth. At the end of 5.5, Washington 6, the Red Sox 5 in a slugfest. Minnesota 3, Kansas City 0 at the end of 3, Pasquale against McGee. Now Tommy Aaron has gone to first base for the Milwaukee Braves as Norm Sherry leads off in the eighth inning. Milwaukee Braves consider Tommy Aaron to be just about as good as you can find defensively around first base. Of course, the New York Mets know that anytime Gil Hodges can take the field, they have the best. The thing that is keeping Gil out of action right now is not the leg that was operated on, it's the other leg. It started to swell up a little bit when he took a couple of lengthy drills fielding ground balls. Now Norm Sherry is up top of the eighth inning. Swing and a miss, strike one. A good fastball by Bob Henley. Nobody on, nobody out. Top of the eighth inning, scoreless mound duel between Henley and Craig. Norm Sherry waiting. Hits the curve foul coming straight back in the count, strike two. Tim Harkness is on deck, and then Roger Craig. Well, the Cardinals broke through and got two runs off Chris Short in the last of the eighth. So they go to the ninth inning, 3-2, the Phillies in front. Fouled back up toward the upper deck, and this is out of reach. Has picked up and is now blowing diagonally from left across toward right. Makes it a tough route for the ball to travel when hit into that wind going toward left field. Jim Hickman hit a ball right into that wind and drove it through for a home run yesterday. Ground ball hit the shortstop. Roy McMillan is up with it. And he pegs to Tommy Aaron in time, and Sherry is out. One away in the eighth inning. Ralph, we're going to have to take a walk around our chair or something to pick up some runs.
Well, the Mets had a great chance in the last inning, but Ty Klein, who was purchased for that one reason, made a great stop, made a great catch in center field to Rob Burright of a sure base hit and not a double.
One away and nobody on. Left-hander against left-hander now. Harkness facing Henley. And he pops the ball up in foul territory back toward the dugout. Here comes Joe Torre hoping for a play. It may go out of reach. And it's out of reach into the field box. Well, from all of us out here in Milwaukee, a very happy Easter.
You see that fellow down there with those bare, cold hands make a try for that ball? You see that lady right next to him that was going to take that brand new Easter bonnet and try to use it as first baseman's glove?
It would have been a great play, wouldn't it?
She'd have hated herself afterwards.
I think that was Joe Kresnick's wife. Now the windup, here's the pitch. Ground ball on the right side, running to his glove side is Frank Bowling. He takes on to Aaron, and Harkness is out. We rode out to the ballpark with our engineer, Joe Kresnick, today, and his wife, I want to tell you, Ralph, has really got an Easter bonnet. That thing must stand up like a three-layer cake on the top of her head. Two outs and nobody on. The hand now is for Roger Craig as he comes up against Henley in the eighth inning. And he pops it up on the right side of the diamond. On the skin of the infield path, Frank Bowling calling. He has it. And young Bob Henley breezes through the eighth inning when the Mets failing to get the ball out of the infield. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. So at the end of 7.5 innings, the score remains the Mets nothing and the Braves nothing. Well, if you've ever been frustrated and wanted to be an umpire, here's your chance. Picture this Rango riddle. Runners on first and second with one out. You got it?
All right.
Now, the batter lefts a high fly towards short, and the umpire correctly calls infield fly. But the ball coming down strikes the front runner standing a few feet off second. Now, how would you rule? Is the runner out? Is the batter out? Well, the answer to this one is that it's a double play. Both the batter and the base runner are out. If the runner had been standing on second, he would have been safe. How'd you do? Well, you can ponder that ruling over a glass or two of refreshing Rheingold. You know, Rheingold just naturally goes with baseball. Goes with all good times because Rheingold has a taste all its own. It's beer as beer should taste, and dry tells you why. It tells you that Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costlier way for a taste that's brisk and bright and clean, clear through. Enjoy it now along with the game. And Bob Henley will lead it off, facing Roger Craig. He hit the ball hard his last time up, and Charlie Neal made quite a play to retire the side by flipping the ball to second for a force play. Ground smash to short. Charlie Neal's up with it. He pegs on to Harkness, one away in the home eighth inning. Henley jumping right on that first pitch. Well, it's all over in Cleveland. A shutout for the combined work of Mudcat Grant and Jerry Walker. Mudcat was hit by a batted ball and had to leave the game in the fifth inning. And Jerry Walker, who came to Cleveland in a swap for Chuck Kosygin, then took over and hurled shutout ball the rest of the way. Cleveland, 6 runs, 12 hits, no errors. Detroit, no runs, 7 hits, and no errors. Jerry Walker, the winner, and Jim Bunning was the loser. Rookie Vic D'Amelio hit a 2-run homer in the fifth. Outside to Ty Klein, 1 ball and no strikes. This little D'Amelio played at Jacksonville in the International League last season, was a tremendous hitter. Swing and a miss by Ty Klein, 1 ball, 1 strike. He's about the size of Albie Pearson. And one now on Ty Klein. Down comes the pitch from Craig. Off the outside corner. 2 balls and 1 strike. Frank Bowling is the on-deck hitter. A nothing-to-nothing ball game. Last half of the eighth inning. Now the 2-1 delivery. A high fly ball. It's deep to right field. That goes Snydery back to the wall. May have her make the catch. The Duke had his bat right up against the canvas, 360 feet away. The ballpark was just exactly big enough to hold that one. Snyder had to reach over his head with his back against the canvas. Well, there was an uneasy moment for Roger Craig and the New York Mets. As Ty Klein, who's known as a line drive hitter and not a long ball hitter, almost reached the feet in right field. 2 outs and nobody on now in the bottom of the eighth inning. The batter is Frank Bowling. Frank, 1 for 3 for the afternoon. Takes inside, ball one. Rheingold Extra Dry Beer. Happy to be sending you the game from County Stadium in Milwaukee. Hope you have plenty on hand. Outside and low in the count now, 2-0. New York, no runs, 2 hits and 1 error. Milwaukee, no runs, 5 hits, no errors. Boy, you can't find better pitching than we have seen in this ball game today. Now, Tall Roger, crank it up. Breaking ball over for a call strike, 2-1. Roger has walked 2 and struck out 5, allowed no runs, and scattered 5 hits. Twice in the game, has been called on to pitch out of deep trouble and did so. Inside and high, ball 3, 3-1. In the sixth inning, with runners on 2nd and 3rd, he got Mac Jones to ground out to retire the side. He pitched out of a jam also in the fourth inning. Pitching 3-1. Low, it's ball 4, and Bolling walks, and that brings up Aaron. Now the electricity that always winds its way through a stadium when a superstar comes on to hit can be felt. As Henry Aaron comes on to face Roger Craig with a tie-breaking run on first, two men down in the last of the eighth inning. Henry has fouled out, drawn a walk, and picked up a base hit. Strike one called. It's in at the knees. The last time Aaron was up, he asked Frank Zicori to take a close look at the ball. Frank did and put it out of play. Again, Aaron says, look it over. This time he looks it over, and the ball stays in the game. Is holding against Bolling at first. The pitch by Roger. He tried to hold up on the swing, but he went through with it. Strike two. Roger Craig had Henry Aaron fooled on that one, and now it's a two-strike count. Bottom half of the eighth inning, no score. Bolling leading off first. The pitch to Aaron. Strike three called. Oh, what a pitch by Roger Craig. He got Aaron on three pitches. That last one really shaved that knee-high outside corner. He was really pitched on a dime, wasn't he, Ralph, with that last one?
He certainly was, and he fooled Aaron completely. Aaron was looking for a curveball. That pitch came across the knees and the outside, and he didn't make an offer at it. Real good job by Roger Craig.
In the eighth inning, no runs, no hits, no errors, and one left at the end of eighth as we get set for the ninth. The score, the Mets nothing and the Braves nothing. They would like to remind you that the 1963 official New York Met yearbook is now available. Very attractive cover on the yearbook again this season with Mr. Met on the front cover. And once you turn inside, you'll find over 100 pictures, including the interesting biographical sketches and the factual background about your favorite New York Met players. Also, stories about the skipper, Casey Stengel. The coaches, including the new pitching coach, Ernie White. Beautiful Shea Stadium with that fantastic new Stadiorama scoreboard. Highlights of last year. Stories about the farm system, the men behind the scenes, and many other interesting stories and facts. There is a complete page of players' autographs. And I'm sure it'll be a welcome addition to your baseball library and will settle a lot of arguments during the coming year. To obtain your copy, send 50 cents for each copy to Met Yearbook, Polo Grounds, New York 39, New York. Well, here we go now to the ninth inning. Mets will be desperately trying to push across the run against Bob Henley. Henley has four scoreless innings going as he hits the ninth inning, has given up only two scattered singles in the entire game. A first inning single with one out by Charlie Neal, and a two-out single in the fourth inning by Jim Hickman. The young left-hander from Macon, Georgia, winds and pitches, a swing and a miss, strike one. Hit Shriver 0 for 3. Ted has grounded out twice and been struck out. Ted stands well back from the plate, right-hand batter. Henley winding. Now the pitch goes to a curve and drops it right in there. Strike two called. Charlie Neal is on deck and then Duke Snyder. Here's the two-strike pitch by Henley. A smash it hard, a base hit going through the hole in the left field for Schreiber. Ted takes his turn around first, and he has his first major league base hit. It could be a mighty big one. It's a clutch hit coming in the leadoff role in the ninth inning of a nothing-to-nothing ball game.
We will be back on side two.
Now the Braves are looking for the bunt. Eddie Matthews comes in close at third. Tommy Aaron, a good fielder, is at first. Neal bunts. The ball goes foul down the first baseline. No play. Charlie didn't get himself up to try and lay that one down. He tried to conceal his intentions to keep that defense honest. Well, Charlie James has homered in the last of the ninth inning to tie up the game with the Phillies 3-3. Cardinals are still batting with a chance to win it now in the last half of the ninth. Here's the stretch by Henley. Neal swings away and misses, strike two. Warm-up action for the Braves. Claude Raymond, a right-hander, getting ready. So the Phillies had the Cardinals 3-0, but the Cardinals came back for 2 in the 8th, have tied it in the 9th, and they are still hitting with a chance to win it. Right here, the Mets are trying to move Schreiber over. Two strike delivery. Inside. One ball and two strikes. That one almost nicked Charlie. Now Bob Henley looking in for his sign from Joe Torre. A throw to first. Not in time as Ted Schreiber gallops back to the bag. We have warm-up action for the first time in the ballgame in the Milwaukee bullpen. Neil waiting, throw to first. Again, Schreiber gets back. No score. We're in the top of the 9th inning. Now the stretch by Henley. Here's the pitch on the way. A ground ball hit towards second base. Bowling is up when he flips to second for one. On the first, double play. Bowling to McMillan to Aaron, and the Braves get two. Charlie Neal on the first pitch tried to bunt Schreiber over, bunted foul. Casey then changed and let him hit away, but he grounds into a double play. Two outs and nobody on the ninth inning, and the hitter now is Duke Snyder. Duke, 0 for 2, has flied to center twice. He drew a walk leading off in the 7th inning. Left-hander against left-hander. In the dirt, one ball and no strike. Nothing to nothing, top of the 9th inning. Next pitch by Bob Henley. Curve low in the dirt. Ball 2, 2 and nothing on Duke Snyder. Right after Duke takes his turn at bat, we'll give our stations a chance to identify. Jim Heckman is waiting on deck. Now the windup pitched by Bob Henley, and the curve is a strike on the inside corner about knee high, 2-1. When Bob Henley, the young left-hander from Macon, Georgia, walked Duke Snyder in the 7th inning, it was the only walk that he has given up in the entire game. Pitching 2-1. Ground ball bounced to the right of Frank Bowling. He backhands it. He throws to first. Out, a great play by Frank Bowling. Oh, what a fielding play by Frank Bowling. That looked like a base hit for the Duke. But Bowling, racing towards second, made the across the body, backhand stab, whirled and threw off balance in time for the out. In the 9th, no runs, one hit, no errors, and none left on. And now at the end of 8.5 innings, the score. The New York Mets, nothing, and the Milwaukee Braves, nothing. Right now, let's listen to an old favorite brought up today.
Rheingold Extra Dry Beer is the name of my beer. Brisk and bright, refreshing brew. Rheingold flavors clean clear through. It's not sweet or bitter, that's why folks consider Rheingold is the beer to buy, and Dry will tell you why. Rheingold Extra Dry has friends by the millions because it's beer as beer should taste. Brisk, bright, and clean clear through. Dry tells you why. Slowly aids the flavor, Rheingold tastes to favor. Here is beer as beer should taste. That's the reason to make haste. Next time you're out shopping, in a tavern popping, why not sing out clear and high, Rheingold Extra Dry. My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Think of Rheingold whenever you buy beer. It's not bitter, not sweet. It's a dry flavor treat. Won't you try Extra Dry Rheingold beer?
Last of the 9th inning in Milwaukee with Eddie Matthews leading off now against Roger Craig. Right-hander Tracy Stallard, left-hander Don Rowe cranking up in the bullpen. Nothing to nothing mound duel between Bob Henley and Roger Craig. Few, if any, tougher to face in a leadoff capacity in a moment such as this in the last of the 9th inning than Eddie Matthews. Eddie in the game has singled a right in 3 times up. Now Roger has his sign. Into the windup, the pitch to Matthews. Outside, it's ball 1. Jack Jones, the left fielder, a left-hand hitter, is on deck, and then Tommy Aaron, who replaced Lynn Gabrielson at first base. Matthews cocktailing the bat around. Now Coxon. Here's the pitch. Ball two is outside. 2-0 now at Eddie. Roger trying to keep that ball out away from Eddie Matthews and from his great power. The breeze blowing in favor of the left-hand hitter toward right field. Now the windup back, Craig. Down comes his pitch. He tried to shave that outside corner again, and it was outside. Ball three, 3-0. And now Eddie wants to check with JoJo White, relaying the signs from skipper Bobby Briggs, to see whether or not he has the green line to try and break this thing up on one swing of the bat. Pitching 3-0. He goes after it, a foul ball back into the screen, and the count 3-1. They flashed the green light, and Eddie went after it, but he fouled it off, and so Roger, even though it was 3-0, kept something good on the pitch. Now Eddie wants to tighten up the grip on that bat handle, so he goes for that pine tar cloth. Count 3-1 as Roger fusses around on the pitching slab. The outfield playing it deep, astride to right. Infield back deep on the right side. Craig into his windup, pitching. Strike two called. He shaved that better high outside corner. Roger really pitching fine on that one. And now the string is out 3-2. Bottom half of the ninth inning, 0-0. Arms dangling. Roger looks in for his fan. Now he's winding. Pitching 3-2. He line drive to right center. A base hit for Eddie Matthews. The winning run is on as he swings around first. And coming on to hit will be Mac Jones. Before Jones steps in, let's pause for station identification.
810 on your dial, WGY. The General Electric Station, Schenectady, New York.
Nelson and Ralph Kiner from Milwaukee. The issue squarely up to the Mets now. Bottom of the ninth inning. Matthews on 3-2, picking a curveball and a drive into right center for a hit. They look for the bunt. Bunt it back toward the mound. Craig throwing to second. Fourth play. On to first. Not in time. But they take the lead runner, Eddie Matthews, off the baseline. Ball bunted too hard by Mac Jones, and Craig was on it in a hurry. He threw to Charlie Neal, and they forced Matthews. Brings up Tommy Aaron. He'll be batting for the first time in the game. He went to first base in the top of the eighth inning, replacing Lynn Gabrielson. Tommy Aaron, who has good power, is a right-hand batter. Mets play him around toward left in the outfield. He has been up only three times so far in the young season. Aaron, with good size, bats out of a crouch. Takes outside and low, it's ball one. Last half of the ninth inning. New York, no runs, 3 hits, 1 error. Milwaukee, no runs, 6 hits, no errors. Mets have the infield, pull to left, and set up looking for two. Hickman shaded toward left center. Driver deep behind the bag at third, guards the line. He checks up on the swing. It's over. He had him tied up on that one. One ball and one strike now on Tommy Aaron. Now on Tommy Aaron. Throw to first, not in time, and Mac Jones, who has a world of speed going for him, moves back into first base. A throw to first, not in time. Those of you joining us late earlier in the ball game, Joe Torre was picked off by Roger Craig. The 1-1 delivery, swing and a miss. One ball and two strikes now on Aaron. He went for a low breaking ball down around the knees. Up in pitching position. Kim Harkness holding against Mac Jones, the potential winning run at first base, one out. Last of the ninth. Now the pitch. Ground ball bounced, foul down the third baseline, no play. Handled in foul ground by Ted Schreiber, and the count remains the same. 1-2 on Tommy Aaron. ninth inning in Chicago now. The Cubs lead the Giants 3-0 behind the shutout hurling of Larry Jackson. Next pitch by Roger. Ground ball hit down to Schreiber. He's up and he throws to second. There's one. Throw right to first. Safe at first base. Close play at first base. Norm Sherry asking Bill Zukowski, the umpire, about it. Mac Jones, the lead runner, is forced from Ted Schreiber to Larry Burright. Mets just missing the double play that would have taken him out of the inning. So Tommy Aaron reaches on the fielder's choice, and that brings up a strong right-hand hitter in Joe Torre. Joe Torre, a batting right-handed. Two down, last half of the ninth, no score. Tommy Aaron on first. Outfield deep and swung around toward left for the right-hand hitter. A throw to first, not in time. Torrey drew a walk and was picked off by Craig in the third. He singled in the fifth. Now the pitch. A squibber hit off the bat toward second base. Burright is up with it. Throws on to first. The side is out. And this game will go scoreless on to the 10th inning. In the last of the ninth, no runs, one hit, no errors, and one left on. At the end of nine innings, here is the line score for the New York Mets. No runs, three hits, one error. For the Milwaukee Braves, no runs, six hits, no error. And we'll be going now to the 10th inning of this thriller on Easter Sunday afternoon with Jim Hickman to lead off against lefty Bob Henley. Following the two-game series in Cincinnati Tuesday night and Wednesday night, KC and the Mets will be flying back to New York. Thursday will be an open day for them. And these Milwaukee Braves are in now for a four-game series next weekend, starting with a Friday afternoon game, the first Ladies' Day game of the year on Saturday afternoon, and 1 week from today in the Polo Grounds, the first doubleheader of the home season as the New York Mets entertain the Milwaukee Braves. Right here, we're going along to the 10th inning, and we've had a world of thrills and baseball excitement here this afternoon. They continue right along, and here to follow the excitement for you, Ralph Kiner.
You know, Bob, you talk about excitement. This season seems to have started off with more excitement than any season I can remember. Some real great pitching. St. Louis Cardinals coming up with three straight shutouts to go with two the previous year. So it's been baseball at its best in the 1963 start. Right here, a great pitching duo between Roger Craig and Bob Henley. Through nine innings of play, Bob Henley has pitched only 30 men. He has given up three hits. Yesterday, Lou Burdett pitched a three-hitter and faced only 31 men. So the Milwaukee Braves looking for some young pitching, getting some great pitching from Bob Henley right here against the New York Mets. And, of course, the New York Mets getting a fine job from Roger Craig. Now we move to the top of the 10th inning, and Jim Hickman steps in. Jim with a home run yesterday to score one of the two runs against Lou Burdett when the Milwaukee Braves won 5-2. Jim today with one hit and two times up. And the first pitch to Jim, a curve that's in the dirt for ball one. It was Hickman who put the Mets runner at second base, the only time in the game that the Mets have had a runner as far as second base. And that was in the seventh inning when after Duke Snider walked, Jim sacrificed him down to second. Duke was left there when the center fielder, Ty Klein, made a great play on Larry Burright. Now the left-hander into the swing, and the 1-0 pitch to Jim. Swing and a miss for strike one. One ball and one strike. Henley has struck out four. He has walked only one batter in pitching to 30 men. The base hit to Johnny Neal, Jim Hickman, and Ted Schreiber. Now the left-hander back to work, and the 1-1 pitch hit sharply down to the shortstop, McMillan. He comes up with a throw to first in time. Well, McMillan has pulled up some big plays here, along with the second baseman, Frank Bowling, to keep the Mets from getting base hit. That was a good play on Jim Hickman as McMillan went to his left to take that hard ground ball. And with one out now, the batter will be Cliff Cook. Cliff is 0 for 3 against the left-hander. There's a drive deep to left field. It's going to go way back there. The left fielder's there, Jones, and he makes the catch. Mac Jones against the wall, 340 feet away. He could go no farther. And Cliff Cook, being hampered by the wind blowing in, misses a chance for an extra base hit, a possible home run. So two balls hit well here in the top of the 10th inning for the Mets. No score, but two men are out. And coming up now is Larry Burright. Larry is 0 for 3 in the game, right-hand batting second baseman. And the first pitch to the right-hand batter is a strike call, a fastball through. Now handling into the windup and the one-strike pitch. It's outside, one ball and one strike. The New York Mets against the Milwaukee Braves here. No score. And this is the first extra inning ball game for the Mets this year. It's the top of the 10th inning, two men out. Now Henley back to the plate. There's a swing and a foul ball. So the count moves to one ball and two strikes. Claude Raymond up and throwing for the Milwaukee Braves. While the two balls being hit hard, giving Bobby Bregan a chance to get up his bullpen. Bobby Bregan, the new manager of the Milwaukee Braves, former Cleveland Indian manager. Now it's Henley into the windup. And the 1-2 pitch, way over the top of the catcher's head for ball two. Two balls and two strikes. Torrey got a piece of his glove on it, couldn't hold on to it. So the count now, two balls and two strikes to Larry Burright. The on-deck batter is Norm Sherry. Henley into the windup and back with a 2-2. And there's a foul ball straight back. Hitting right off the radio booth. And where were you, Bob Murphy?
I was going to my left. The ball was going to the right.
Boy, that thing was almost in there. Here's the final score. San Francisco Giants scored one run in the top of the ninth and failed to score anymore. They lose the ball game to the Cubs by a score of 3-1. The winning pitcher was Larry Jackson. The losing pitcher was Juan Marichal. One home run in that game. Ron Santo in the fourth with no one on. There's a base hit by Burright to right field. Hank Aaron comes up with the ball, throws it in, and now the Mets have the go-ahead run at first base with two men out and Norm Sherry coming up. Well, Burright has hit the ball awfully well his last two times up. He was robbed of at least a double and a chance to drive in the first Mets run when Ty Klein in center field went far to his left to pull down his line drive. Here is Norm Sherry. Norm looking for his first base hit of this game. He has struck out, fly to center field, and grounded to short. Right-hand batting catcher. And that is hit number four in the game off of Bob Henley. Henley with his first pitch to Norm Sherry. A strike through at the knees. A fastball for strike one. Norm, his last time up, swung so hard at a high curveball that he hurt his neck. No score in the ball game. Top of the 10th. Henley goes to first base. The throw arrives there after Burright had dove back into the bag. Henley now on the pitching rubber, taking the sign from Joe Torre. And the one-strike pitch with Burright going has popped up in the air. It's foul territory. Torre has room back of home plate. And he one-handed to make the catch. Torrey had a little trouble as he stumbled coming off of the grass under the warning path by the stands and had to one-hand it, but he did the job. That retires the side. In the inning, no runs on one hit, no errors, one man left. And the score after 9 1/2 innings of play, the New York Mets nothing, the Milwaukee Braves nothing. You don't want to catch your suspects that a runner will steal. It's the right time for him to call for a pitch out. And if you suspect that your present filter cigarette is stealing some of the pleasure you get out of smoking. And the one-strike pitch to Burright going is popped up in the air. Foul territory. Torrey has room back of home plate. And he one-hands it to make the catch. Torrey had a little trouble as he stumbled coming off of the grass under the warning path by the stands and had to one-hand it, but he did the job. That retires the side. In the inning, no runs on one hit, no errors, one man left. And the score after 9 1/2 innings of play, the New York Mets nothing, the Milwaukee Braves nothing. You know, when a catcher suspects a runner will steal, it's the right time for him to call for a pitch out. And if you suspect that your present filler cigarette is stealing some of the pleasure you get out of smoking, well, it's the right time for you to try Viceroy. Because Viceroy tastes the way you'd like a filler cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. What do I mean by the taste that's right? Well, if you smoke all seven leading filler brands, you'll find some taste just like the unfiltered kind. And as you might suspect, they taste too strong. While other brands seem to be all filler and no flavor. They just plain taste too light. But Viceroy's not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Next time you buy cigarettes, make it a Viceroy in the familiar soft pack or new slide top case. Either way, Viceroy's got the taste that's right. That's right. Well, it's Roger Craig on the mound now. He has a job to do. It's the bottom half of the 10th inning. Not a score on the board. And he'll be working here in the bottom half of the 10th. The pinch hitter, Lee May. Lee May batting for shortstop Roy McMillan. And with Claude Raymond still throwing in the bullpen for the Milwaukee Braves, and the pitcher's position due up next, we possibly could have another pinch hitter. Lee May, who is 0 for 2 this year, batting from the left-hand side. And the first pitch by Roger is a curveball that breaks too low for ball one. One ball count to the left-hand batter. Ed Driver at third base, even with the bag, looking for a possible punt. Craig back again. This time the curve is inside. Ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Now Craig with a 2-0 pitch, and there's a drive foul for strike one. Lee May in 1962, after batting better than 300 in six of his eight minor league seasons, batted 244 with 10 home runs and 41 runs batted in for the Milwaukee Braves. During the early part of last year, May was sidelined with a virus and bronchial problems. Now the 2-1 pitch is outside at ball three. Roger Craig, three balls and one strike to his leadoff man here in the bottom half of the 10th inning. Tracy Stollard and Don Roll throwing in the bullpen for the Mets. Now the 3-1 pitch to May. It's low for ball four. And the go-ahead run, the winning run, is on at first base with no one out. The pitcher is due up. We'll see whether or not Bobby Bregan will use the pinch hitter. Of course, in this spot, the punt is up for order. And it's going to be Bob Henley coming out to hit for himself. That punt, that walk by Roger Craig is fourth in the game. He has given up only six base hits. Now time called as Norm Jerry goes out to talk to Roger. In the ninth inning, Eddie Matthews led off with a base hit against Roger Craig on a 3-2 pitch. And when Mac Jones tried to bunt him over, Roger fielded the ball and made the fourth play at second to take away the lead runner. Right here, the bunt in order. Here come the men charging. There's the bunt attempt. It's a foul ball. Ball fouled off the bat of Bob Henley, and it hit Norm Jerry. Glanced off of him, but he's all right. One strike count now. Rogers left the total of seven on in his first nine innings. He has pitched fine baseball. In the first nine innings, there was only one inning when he gave up more than one base hit. That was in the sixth inning when Hank Aaron and Eddie Matthews both singled after two men were out. Milwaukee Braves have had a runner at third base twice in the ball game, once in the sixth inning and once in the fourth inning. Further, that a Mets base runner has gone on the base pass has been to second base, and that was in the seventh inning. It's been a real pitcher's duel. Now throw to first base. Lee May back ahead of the tag. Bob Henley batting from the right-hand side. There's a throw to first again. Again, the runner back ahead of the tag. Roger working with a bunt situation. A one-strike count on Bob Henley. Now Craig on the pitching rubber and to the plate. There's a pitch out. A play is on, but no play as May gets back into first base in a hurry. Charging from first base was Tim Harkness. On the play, Burright was to come behind the runner, but he had no chance to make a play as Lee May slid back in a hurry. One ball and one strike. Henley is 0 for 3 in the game. Now Craig back to work. There's a fun try. It's a good punt. Picked up by Harkness. He goes to second, and it's too late. Tim Harkness with a hard throw to second. It was just a touch high. And Vinny Smith, the second base umpire, gave the safe sign. So it's a fielder's choice for the punter, Bob Henley. And now the Milwaukee Braves have runners at first and second base and no one out in the batter's Ty Klein. Ty Klein, who flied out to deep right field. Duke Snyder made the catch right against the wall in the eighth inning. Now steps in the batter's box. He has struck out twice, but saving an error when Roger Craig made the only error of the ball game on a top ball out by the third base side. Now he's batting for the fifth time. First and third looking for the punt. The on-deck batter's Frank Bowling. Here's the pitch. There's the punt. It's a foul ball. Roger Craig coming off the mound over by the third baseline. The third. Third baseman for the play there. And charging from first base, Tim Harkness. Lee May, a fast man on at second base. The pitcher, Bob Henley. The runner at first base. No one out here in the bottom half of the 10th. No score. Now Roger with a one-strike count. There's a play on the second. Coming over is Charlie Neal behind the runner. He never got to the bag as Lee May slid in. New York Mets pulling no stops right here as they try to keep the Milwaukee Braves from scoring. Now Roger sets. Here's the pitch. A bunt, it goes foul. So that moves the count up to two strikes on Ty Klein. Time call as Roger talks to Norm Cherry and out of Ted Shriver. Question here, of course, is whether or not Ty Klein will be bunting with a two-strike count. Milwaukee Braves would love to see that runner at third base with no one out or one out. They would like to see him score even more. A winning run on at second base here in the bottom half of the 10th. A two-strike count as Roger Craig now comes back to Ty Klein. There's a pitch out. It's ball one. So, not knowing exactly what Klein might do, the Mets pitched out to find out whether or not he would score around the bunt. He did not. He was swinging away. He took the pitch. It's one ball and two strikes. One ball and two strikes. No one out here. As Craig looks for the sign. And Craig back to the plate with a curve, misses outside for ball two. Balls and two strikes. Here's the final score. The Yankees defeated Baltimore 5-1. Stan Williams, a five hitter, going all the way. The losing pitcher was Estrada. The Yankees had 5 runs on 6 hits. The Orioles 1 run on 5. No home runs in the game. Right in. Nothing to nothing. Roger Craig, 2-2 to Ty Klein. And back to the plate, and there's a foul ball and a curveball right back in the screen. So the count holds at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Dodger struck out Ty Klein in the first inning on a curveball. And he has him 0 for 4 right now today. Klein saved the game for the Milwaukee Braves when he made a great catch on Larry Burright in center field in the seventh inning. There's a pitch back, a base hit to right field. This will win the ball game. Kirk Snyder comes over. He has no play and scores from second base. Chase Lee May. So Ty Klein, the real hero for the Milwaukee Braves, drives in the only run of the ball game as the Braves score one run on one base hit in the 10th inning. And the final score of the ball game, the Milwaukee Braves won, the New York Mets nothing. And here to give you the details and tell you all about it is Bob Murphy.
Okay, Ralph, and you can well imagine that it is an unhappy, tall, veteran right-hander, Roger Craig, that now goes into the visiting clubhouse occupied by the New York Mets. After pitching a tremendous ball game, but his teammates, who have been gripped in a very tough batting slump over the first five games of the new season, simply unable to break through. This was the strongest ball game that has been pitched against the New York Mets, including the strong efforts by Ernie Broglio and by Warren Spahn, by Ray Washburn, by Lou Burdett. Mets have been up against five top pitchers in the first five ball games, and they have been held almost completely in check. In today's game, Bob Henley was even better than Roger Craig. Not once in the entire 10 innings were the New York Mets able to move a man as far as third base. Nonetheless, it took some fine fielding behind Bob Henley to preserve the victory for him. The Mets made their strongest bid to win the game in the seventh inning when, with Duke Snyder on second base, Larry Burright hit a slashing line drive toward right center. Speedy Ty Klein, the left-handed throwing center fielder, was off at the crack of the bat. The ball was hit so hard that it started to rise just a little bit, enough so that Klein was able to make the catch running into right center while at full speed. That was the best threat of the entire ball game for the New York Mets. The Braves winning it in the 10th inning when Lee May, batting for McMillan, drew a walk leading off. Bob Henley then bunted. Harkness fielded the bunt near the mound and hesitated for just a split second. That split second hesitation deprived him of the chance of getting the lead runner, Lee May, at second base. Everyone was safe, and Ty Klein singled a right to break it up. Milwaukee, one run, seven hits, no errors, nine left. New York, no runs, four hits, one error, and four left. Winning pitcher Bob Henley on a four-hit shutout. He now is 1-1 on the year. Losing pitcher Roger Craig, who pitched his heart out. Roger now has one none and lost two.
Now, coming up.
You may purchase from the Miley Collection. Call 1-800.
Blue birds over the white waves.
Mm-hmm.